Welcome to episode 58 of Photography Insights, your one-stop guide to interviews with people in the photography industry. They say patience is a virtue, so here comes your reward. The one and only Clay Patrick McBride. People from the USA know of Patrick through his work in the music photography world. Younger people know him as an educator. You see, Clay has forged a great career through hard graft, skill and constant innovation. He has shot some of the biggest names in music, like Kid Rock, Jay-Z, Bon Jovi and Kanye West, to name a few. The real reason I wanted to talk to Clay was that he shoots several mediums, including film, to complement his work and passion. But what I really liked about him was that he talked about his students' work and how proud he is, not about himself. As the main man says, he's just a guy with experience. As usual, check out the show notes on the website for links to his amazing work. Let's roll the music and await our host, Andrew Wormsley. And welcome today to Clay. How are you doing?
I'm great. Happy to be here. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks a lot for joining in. I hope it's not too much time out of your day. I know you're a very busy man.
Happy to be here. Whatever you need.
That's cool. It's always nice to get a hold of people like yourself. Education has been a big thing in my life, and I seem to sort of gravitate towards people like yourself.
I think what's cool about your platform is that you create a place for yourself to learn and other people to learn as well. Like, it's kind of like a independent study that you have with people who are like-minded, and then you get to share it with the world. It's a, you know, this didn't exist when I was a young photographer, so it's awesome how technology has connected us.
No, that's right. Yeah, technology's changed everything for all of us. There's obviously the bad side of photography and technology. You know, as a teacher, you'll know this. I mean, people will be sat there on Instagram probably throughout your sessions at uni, won't they?
Yeah, I don't really tolerate that. If I see you on your phone, you're going to get the hammer. I'm going to come down on you. Yeah, that doesn't happen in my classes. Yeah.
No, pretty that's strange. Cool.
Yeah.
So how big a class do you teach then, Clay?
I'm a professor at the Rochester Institute of Technology here in Western New York. You know, my classes vary. You know, I have one class with about 30 students in it who I co-teach with a colleague. And but my general classes run about 15 or 17 students in a class.
Oh, that's a good size, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's manageable. So I heard that your school just went digital. Are you doing analog and other things as well now? Or
they do teach some classes in wet plate and analog photography. We still have dark rooms at our school, so you can still print black and white prints. We have a color processor. You can still make color photographs there. It still exists, and there are color photography classes taught where you know, shoot C41. So it exists at our school, but for the most part, I teach in the advertising program, and our workflow is pretty rapid, and it is, though some kids love digital or love film and they embrace film and they shoot it for classes, I'd say like 98% of them shoot digital because it's just much quicker and more convenient to turn around for class, for deadlines.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Is that something that's important? And you've got to sort of teach like the business side. You've got to get a job done. You've got dates due. Is that a big thing? Yeah.
Yeah, it's, we really encourage professional practices and deadlines. Yes. So yeah, I think my school is, because it's an advertising program, we try to operate under the parameters and real world conditions, you know? So yeah, it's all about deadlines and such.
Yeah, because that
it's quite a big thing for young people to step into this world where you can't just sit there and do nothing and mess about with your friends. You know, if you want to get on and do stuff, you've got to follow other people's rules.
Yeah, and I'm lucky to teach the environment I teach in is a pretty serious learning environment, and I'm always impressed with the students' work ethics where I teach. It's a very serious place where, you know, nobody's really phoning it in. Everybody's working seriously hard. You know,
that's really good. Yeah, because that's not the case everywhere.
I've tried another school where it wasn't like
that. Yeah. I mean, I did university about 8 years ago. And it was really different for me. I was a mature student. I was mid-30s. And then you see the work rate and ethics of a 19-year-old.
Yeah.
We didn't compare at all. You know, we could be friends and we can work hard. But do you have mature students?
I do. I do have mature students, and I think, you know, that the environment itself is very elevated, the level of learning that's happening at the school. You know, I don't have mature students in the way that they're in their 30s. You know, most of the students I teach are in their late teens, early 20s, but they are. But they are very serious, you know, and they work very hard. Yeah.
Well, that's fair enough. So, what would you say is the best way to inspire a student then?
Well, I always try to show great photographs by great photographers, you know. That's what I do in a lot of lectures, you know. I think if you want to become... if you want to learn about composition, you have to really look at great compositions and understand, you know, you have to kind of sear them into your brain. They have to become a working part of your mind. Mm-hmm. You know, you just don't, I don't know, maybe some people are born with a natural ability to do it, but I think composition is a key, you know, even if it's a simple, you know, you're putting four lines around someone's head and it's a headshot, there's a mm-hmm. way to do that. You know, there's a way to do that with some eloquence, you know? So I believe in showing a lot of good work by great photographers. I also believe that, you know, I try to encourage students to be authentic and to photograph stuff that they're really have interest in and not what they think I want them to shoot, you know? But,
yeah,
you know, Jay Mazel has this great quote that I heard recently, and he says, if you want to become a better photographer, become a more interesting human being. So, like, I encourage students to realize that what they point their camera at matters, and it should be something that they're curious about or that they want to know more about or that they want to explore, that it's that the camera's like a compass in some way and a passport into a lot of great people and situations that you would never have the opportunity had you not had this little piece of strange technology to kind of open the door for it, you know?
Oh, that's a nice way of looking at it, actually, yeah. I can see why you teach.
Yeah, and I don't know, like... you know, I think research is really important in studying what you're doing, knowing the people who've worked in similar ways to you. You know, if you're going to be, you know, working on something, even if it's a simple story on your family, to look at some other artists that might be like Eleanor Carucci photographs her family for many, many years, you know, to look at an artist like that and to see how she sees her family and, so I think research is important, you know.
Funny you say that. I interviewed a fashion photographer, and he said how much research goes into his shots, or like the planning stages. And it's not just a storyboard; it'll be color of outfits, there'll be backgrounds, the color of the tape they're going to use for cables and stuff. And I was like, wow, because of I've not been in photography education, so I'm learning from the other way, but just by doing, and then you know, gradually, like you said, talking to people like yourself and educating myself.
Yeah, and even when I have to photograph, you know, a musician or an artist, you know, I'm going to do research on them. Yeah. I want to have something to talk to them about. I want to know them, what they're into, you know, about the shoot. I'm going to photograph John Bon Jovi on Friday. And, you know, so before I was on this call with you, I was watching interviews, you know, with him and hearing him talking about the charities that he started. He's done a lot of good things for the world and he's fed a lot of homeless people and built a lot of houses. And, you know, I know that his son plays football for Notre Dame here in New York They're not in New York, but so I have some stuff to talk to him about, you know, and I think research is always important in any field that you work in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's really cool. I've loved Bon Jovi for a long time. It's cool. It was one of like the first people my friend got me into in my early 20s. So, that's cool. And I mean, let's talk a little bit about you, the musicians you've worked with, because some people will know you through being a music photographer. Some people obviously going to know you as an educator. How long have you been doing music then?
To me, when we talk about being authentic, you know, when I talk about being authentic, you know, to me, it was always music photography is something I always wanted to be a part of 12-inch records and being a part of the artwork that was on them. To me, that was the most mystical thing in the world. It was how I understood the band and the music, and there was a real power to it. So I became interested in music photography when I was in my early 20s, you know, and it was just like the target, you know. I wanted to work for record companies, I wanted to collaborate with bands, I wanted to visually stylize and interpret their sound, you know. So it's been, you know, going on 30 years now, I've been doing it, and, you know, close to 30 years I've been doing it. So, to me, that was just, and you have to think, you know, when I was a young person in art school, it was the 90s, and it was, you know, it was an amazing time for music. You had, you know, you had Pixies and Jane's Addiction and Guns N' Roses, and you had the whole grunge thing happening. And it was just an explosive time for music, as well as all the hip hop stuff. You know, like the 90s were probably the golden years of hip hop music as well. So I was very influenced by the time I was living in, you know, which was, like I said, an explosive time for music. Mm.
That's really interesting. So how the heck did you end up teaching then? So I assume you're still a music photographer as well.
Yeah, I still work as an assignment photographer. I do teach full time. It is challenging to balance the two, you know, but I'm lucky. I can cut out a little bit and miss some classes if I have to, but I became a teacher because I went to this art school, and I thought that my teachers, I really looked up to them. I had some outrageous teachers and some beautiful teachers and some tough teachers, and to me it just seemed like a really important job, you know? And I admired them a lot, and I started to just teach one class in location lighting, and it was in the summer, and there was only a couple people in this class, and then slowly my reputation as a teacher grew, and the class that I was teaching filled up. And when that class filled up, they gave me another class. And then eventually I was teaching three or four classes. And, you know, I have a passion for being in front of an audience and talking. You know, I like being there, you know. Not everybody wants to be there, but I enjoy it. And it's, like I said, it's meaningful. Like, you know, I've taken a lot of pictures that seemed really important at the time, but they're kind of meaningless and they don't really matter. But when you're teaching, you're like actually contributing and giving something to somebody else. And there's a beautiful exchange in that I don't experience. I don't experience a lot of other ways in a lot of other places, you know? So like I said, it's tremendously meaningful and it gives my life a tremendous sense of purpose. And I feel like the longer that I was in the photography game as a shooter and as a professional assignment photographer, I didn't feel a tremendous amount of purpose in that job the way I do from teaching, you know?
I think that's quite common in most photographers, to be honest. They don't feel the same thing and something happens to him, like Nick said about going to work at the Eastman Museum. I think he's found like a true calling there. I think knowledge is the greatest gift you can give, mate. So, you know, full credit to you for, you know, passing that on. It's an amazing thing. I've had some great teachers.
I try. Sometimes I feel so unqualified for the job and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, what am I doing here? And who am I, you know, to be this authority, you know, like, and I'm not an authority of photography and I'm not an expert. I'm just a guy with experience, you know, I do have 30 years of experience, you know, and I try to share from my experience. This is what I know from my experience. You know, and I think that's where the students find value, is that I have experience as a photographer, and this is, and I don't say, this may not be your experience, right? Mm. This may not be true for you, but this has been my experience, right? And it helps that I've shot Kanye West a bunch of times, and that makes me cool and gives me credible street cred and stuff like that, you know?
Of course it does, yeah. I mean, why not? You know, if it helps people reach out to you and let them understand you without you even talking to them, being that cool person, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, it's something I put a tremendous amount of time and energy into being a cool person, whatever the fuck that means.
No, some people just naturally, see?
Yeah.
So how do you get your assignments to work with these musicians then? How did it sort of start from the end, and how did you get to the pinnacle of people like Jay-Z?
Well, it started when I had this like box of prints, you know what I mean, and I really felt like at the time that I had something great that the world needed to see, you know, and this was before the internet, this is before the World Wide Web. And like, I would call people up and I would go to their office and I would show them this portfolio, you know, and right. it was a lot of pounding the pavement. It was a lot of walking around with my portfolio, and some of it was just being in the right place at the right time. And the right person seeing my book. And then, doors started to open slowly and I started to work in the music business. I also worked for some little magazines at the time, and they were tiny magazines to begin with, but they kind of grew and grew and grew. And then as the magazines grew, my career grew with them. You know, it's like, if you can get with people on the ground floor of a business or an operation and help them build it up, they kind of carry you with them. And that was incredible. You know, and I started to just get my name associated with people, two in particular. I worked with Norah Jones and Kid Rock kind of before they blew up and before they came really super big stars. But okay. both of those artists really liked me, and I had a long relationship in photographing them. Even Norah Jones, I stopped working with her for many years, but I recently did her new album cover, which was awesome to reconnect with her. And so as their fame and credibility skyrocketed, somehow my work was legitimized because I'd been working with these people. So it's a lot of little things, you know, but mostly it was about like getting my work in front of people and building relationships that sometimes took years to grow into fruition. Like, you know, I'd meet somebody and it would be years before they had the right assignment to hire me. So it's a very mysterious and slow process, but like nobody showed up at my door and knocked on it and said, "Clay, where you been? We've been looking for you." You know, like what happened is I had to go out and I had to take a lot of action and I had to get my work in front of a lot of people. And build my own audience. Today, you know, we can build an audience on Instagram and we can have all these people look at our pictures. And we're so lucky for that because it didn't exist, you know, like it didn't exist. Like in order for people to see my pictures, I didn't even have a website. There were no websites back then. I had to get in front of them. And some of getting in front of them was to kind of come across as a clear, confident and articulate person who could make stuff happen for my clients, you know, who could fill their needs and solve their problems, you know, like many, many times I'm a problem solver, you know, that's my job as a photographer, you know.
That's really cool. So again, is this something you're trying to teach your students that it's not about going out there and saying, "Oh, I want to photograph you, Jay-Z, it's taking little steps and then eventually you might get to him.
Yeah, it's like you work for a magazine and maybe you work for a magazine for a long time. And you kind of prove yourself that you're capable to this magazine, and then eventually when the magazine has to photograph Jay-Z, they think you're the good person because you have proven yourself on a smaller stage over and over again that you can deliver the goods, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So and those are the people who would hire me, you know, like, it's not like Jay-Z was like, "Oh, I want to work with Clay," you know, it was the magazine that I had a relationship with for many, many years, you know, and sometimes just having the right look and aesthetic that gets matched, you know, because you're getting matched with an artist. And so your artist has to match their artistry in some sort of, complement their artistry in some sort of way, you know?
Yeah, because I'm going to say, because obviously, I mean, I love your shots. And I'm thinking, how do you create these images? Is it your ideas? Is it their ideas? Are you working together? Are you choosing film stocks or style digital?
Yeah, I mean, it's there's usually some sort of collaboration, you know.
Okay.
So I'm not a big concept photographer, you know. I've done some conceptual shoots, but generally you're working with an art director and they have some ideas and you kind of bring your ideas to their ideas and the ideas get elevated because the two of you are kind of throwing stuff back and forth, you know. And it really depends on the assignment, you know, like I had a lot of ideas for this Bon Jovi project that all got kind of shot down, you know.
Oh, right, okay.
I presented 20 different ideas and we agreed on one of them, you know.
Oh, God.
And all the other ones I had, which were some really big ideas. So, you know, that's okay. You know, at the end of the day, it's like, you're kind of like a barber. It's like I'm cutting somebody's hair and I have to give them the haircut they want, you know? You know what I mean? Or they're going to leave the chair and be like, you know, "Fuck that guy. He fucked my head up," you know? So, you know, I'm there again, like a problem solver and like a, a collaborator. You know, I want to listen to your needs and interpret them. I don't want to run my agenda. Some photographers are going to run their agenda on everybody they photograph, and they're going to do their thing to whoever they shoot, regardless of what that person thinks, you know. And there's some great guys who do that, who really, and women that do that sort of thing. They have a very stylized vision that they're going to,
yeah,
you know, shoot everything their way, and it doesn't really matter what anybody wants, you know. So, yeah, it really depends on the assignment, you know. But, you know, there's always some mood boards created. There are always some pictures sent back and forth, like, hey, what do you think of this? And, you know, there's always some planning involved in these things, you know. Sometimes you just show up and run on instinct, though, too, and there's no planning. So, you know.
Wow, that's interesting to hear, because I love that sort of attitude. I did a charity shoot last month, and first time I'd ever done a silhouette. Now, I mean, my gear and tech I have is pretty laughable, but I pulled it off. When I showed the model the shots, she was like, my God, Andrew, I've always wanted to do this. This is great. And I was like, huh, okay.
Well,
we just did that there and then.
Yeah, well, we don't take good pictures with good, because the cameras are good. We take good pictures when we use our minds and our hearts, you know, like, you know, like, technology and gear doesn't make us better shooters, although, you know, it's working with your mind and your heart and thinking into the photograph that makes a good picture, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally with you on that, yeah. I think some people are a bit obsessed the other way, but maybe have the gear, but they don't have ideas.
Yeah, I was obsessed quite recently with this new Fuji medium format camera and thinking that 100 megapixels is going to make me a better photographer, you know? And it's not, you know? It's just going to
It's going to give you more detail on someone's face or something, which you don't need because digital's got enough detail.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah.
So when I was talking to Justin, Justin Brookie, for anyone listening, he recommended Clay, and he said, "Oh, you've got to interview Clay. He's this mad music photographer. He's literally, he'll shoot digital, and he'll have a ton of film cameras with him." And I was like, whoa, you sold me. Where is he?
Yeah.
So talk me through. Are you still doing film? How's it involving your work? Are you teaching?
Yeah. I mostly shoot, if I'm going to shoot film now, I mostly shoot 4x5.
Okay.
Because it's such a different animal, and it slows me down, and it's so poetic and beautiful. I'll use my X-Pan panoramic camera quite a bit. Because okay. I like that format, but sadly, and I shoot some like half frame cameras that shoot half a frame, you know.
Yeah, I've got
35 millimeter frame, so I shoot some of them, but it really depends on the assignment. And what's sad is most people don't even want to wait around for the film; they want the pictures at the end of the day, you know. So when I do it, it's generally for myself. Like I generally just shoot for myself. Although the new Norah Jones cover I shot for the album was entirely film, you know? And I was shooting this cool film. It's called Psychedelic Blues. Mm-hmm. And this guy takes film out of its canister and he like fogs it and flares it and puts it back in its canister. So it has all these weird light leaks and inconsistencies that are really beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
So I'll shoot with some of that, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, but I do love the 4x5 because it's such a beautiful camera, and when you pull it out, it just makes something. It just really elevates the whole production value, and people really see the photograph as a different process.
Yeah. Do you shoot a few for yourself when you're doing these musicians on film, or is it you're not really got the time for that?
No, I do it. Yeah, I always have a film camera with me. Yeah, I do.
Okay. Are some of them on your website on film?
A lot of it on my website is film.
The looks, yeah. Because it looked like there's grain, you see.
Yeah, like the whole Jay-Z, JFK story is film. And a lot of it's film.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, does film mean anything special to you? Why would you do it? Someone come up to you now and say, what are you doing with that film camera, mate?
Yeah, well, you know, I think that there's a time to create and a time to criticize. Mm-hmm. And they shouldn't be the same time, right? Okay. And sometimes when I'm working with digital and I'm shooting the picture and I'm looking at it immediately, I start criticizing it, and then I change it, or I just get frustrated, or I'll work on it and get success in the image, you know, because at first it wasn't right. But there's this whole dialogue with creating and criticizing when I work mm-hmm. with a digital camera. When I work with film, I just create. I don't know. I kind of have an idea of what I'm creating, right? But I don't really see the results, you know what I mean, immediately. So to me, there's a little bit more, there's freedom and there's detachment from the whole dialogue, from this whole critical dialogue, you know, that to me is, there's separation there. You know, and there's also a separation between the time I take the photograph and when I re-see the photograph, right?
Yeah.
It's not immediate. So it becomes a surprise again, you know, and it becomes like, it's like I'm burying a treasure and then digging it back up or something. There's that involved in it, you know. And there's the whole process that, like, that's magical, that, you know, it's light and it's silver crystals and they're interacting. And it's like alchemy, and, you know, it's actual physical matter that is doing some magical voodoo process, you know? And to me, that's a little bit more interesting than ones and zeros that are becoming a picture, you know? So, yeah. So I think that explains That answered the question.
Yeah, I think it's quite a hard thing to explain when you've got someone who's like a hard knocks digital person. I met someone for the first time, and he said straight to me, "Why are you shooting film?" And it wasn't an inquisitive question; it was just like really demanding an answer. And I'm thinking, you know, why didn't I just turn the book and say, "Why are you shooting digital?"
Yeah.
That's what I should have done if I'd have thought faster. Because it was like he was talking down to me, like I'm some sort of idiot, or I'm doing something that happened years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, why do people buy records? You know, it's the same conversation.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, it's a different tactile experience of an analog medium, you know. And to me, you know, all this digital stuff, the better it gets, the more it turns analog photography into this old art form like painting, you know, it's different. It's they're not the same thing. It's a different art form. And I think what's sad, you know, is that now I shoot it and then I get it scanned. And then that's it, you know, like I don't finish the process anymore, you know, like I don't go to the dark room. I don't make the prints. And to me, that was really where I felt like I was the author of the photograph, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
If I hand developed the film and then I dried it and then I clipped it and then I put it in the enlarger and I printed the print and the print came out of the chemicals, I really felt responsible for so many steps of the process, you know? That I was a different, I had like more of a commitment in the authoring of a photograph. That was interesting to me.
Yeah, that, like you said, I think that's an authenticity thing. Quinn Jacobson said similar things to me. His big ethos was about being authentic to not just like what you're saying with equipment, but saying using cameras that suit what you're doing or the period the subject matter, and it just sort of did something to my head, and thought, I need to start thinking a little bit more about what I'm doing, and think about doing projects more than just turning up to a shoot and shooting a few pretty models. That's never going to achieve anything. I'm going to get bored of it, let's face it.
Yeah, it's like the difference between photographers and artists. And I think if you're an artist, if you're a photographer, you're just making pictures, and they can be nice pictures, you know. But if you're an artist, you have something to say, you know. And like, yeah. What do you want to say with your pictures? That to me is where, that's what I try to teach a young photographer is, you know, what are you trying to communicate here? Because really, that's what good photography is. It's communicating something. Mm-hmm. One thing about analog photography is I started to buy all these Polaroid cameras for my wife.
Okay.
And they've been beautiful because we have all these like prints of all over our house and all over our life. We have like actual photographs, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a photograph's a thing, you know? And I think so many pictures I take never actually even become photographs because they're just seen on a screen, you know?
Yeah.
And there's something so romantic about and nostalgic about like the photograph. And so much of our life now is documented in these weird Polaroid cameras that we have. You know, we have so many of them. That's been really, really cool thing that, you know, that the resurgence of the Polaroid cameras have been great, you know?
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think you're saying the finished product was the print, because when photography started in the 1800s, it was only about the end product, wasn't it? The bloody process and the camera had nothing to do with it, because it was so basic, wasn't it?
True that.
And that's what I love about people like Nick and Justin and Quinn that are using such old techniques, and the work they create is just lovely.
Yeah,
it really is. So what is exciting you in the photography world at the minute? Maybe something you've seen, something you're doing, or something you're reading about.
Oof, what is exciting me?
It's not going to be a 200 megapixel camera, that's for sure.
What is exciting me in photography? You know, one thing I'm always impressed with is I got really excited about this. My students in my lighting class began by just photographing eggs on a plate.
All right, okay, yeah.
And they change the lighting, and they modify and manipulate the lighting, you know? And so I make them take 15 unique and different pictures of these eggs, right? and they all work so hard on this assignment, and they all, you know, what I try to teach them is that pictures just don't appear. That there, it's almost like a witch in a cauldron and stirring a cauldron and casting a spell. It's something that involves time and concentration and you know, energy. And they spend so much time and energy and concentration on these eggs, and the results are really profoundly beautiful. In fact, like of all the pictures they take over the semester, I'll probably be most excited by these eggs on a plate picture, you know, because they really look at so many different possibilities and techniques, and they use gels and they use cutters and they create little shafts of light. And they just, you know, yeah, that's something I'm always excited about seeing, you know.
So it's funny you say shooting eggs. It was one of the first things I shot to practice with in my home. I did the sort of backlit sort of things and turned it into a big shadow and just did it black and white. And I was just like, wow, this looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, So it's made me think about it.
I can't send pictures through here, can I?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can do near the bottom right. There's a little up arrow.
Yeah.
Next to the hand, that's upload file.
Yeah. Also, I just would drag pictures in there and send them to you, huh? Is that how it would work?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I'll send you a couple here.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, it's amazing what you can do by just changing light positions, isn't it?
Yes.
And, true. You're doing it.
I'm trying to, but it's happening slowly.
That's all right. Sorry, I'll wait for you.
Okay.
I'll enjoy my banana.
Do I just drag the pictures into that?
So if I do it, I have to click it. You want a Mac?
Yeah, I'm on a Mac.
Yeah, you should be able to just click it, and then it'll bring up your files, I think it is.
I don't see it. Maybe I'm missing something. Take a snapshot. Change aspect ratio. All right. I don't know if I could figure this out, Andrew. I'm a bit of a caveman.
That's all right.
Yeah.
It might look slightly different on a Mac anyway, so. That was definitely the wrong button.
Yeah, I got one in there, and then it just disappeared. Everything disappeared, so I don't even know. Maybe if I put it inside the chat.
Yeah, you can do links in the chat, but I don't think you can do files.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't figure this out.
That's all right, don't worry, dude.
Okay, next question. Yeah.
Right, well, thanks a lot for that. We have actually come to the time where we go through my random questions.
Random questions.
Yes. Are you ready?
Yes, ready.
Right, so your first one, nice and simple, easy question. NF or M&M?
M&M, for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anybody... First of all, he sold more records. You know what I mean? Like, so many more records.
He's been doing it longer.
Yeah, but...
Should we have a bet?
Yeah.
In
10 years' time, I would put up, yeah, a lot of money on that. Like, no. Eminem, I think, is the fiercest, most lyrical. I don't think he's a nice person, but I think...
No, I think you're right. I totally agree with you.
His artistry is incredible, and his style of rapping and how he gets inside the beat is just crazy.
And he's a good businessman as well, let's face it.
Yeah, and you know, there's something about his fuck everybody attitude that I admire, you know, so.
Yeah, no, I was a huge fan, and then I started listening to NF, and now it's like, it's just NF now. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome talent. It's young though, so he's got many, many years ahead of him.
Okay.
Right, next one. Will the robots take over?
No. I don't think the robots can take over. I mean, that's like... That reminds me of Doctor Who. Exterminate! Okay. Right?
You know, Nick doesn't agree with you.
He thinks the robots will take over.
He said, you're crazy to think if they're not, because it's already happening. So
they're definitely taking some jobs away from people, but I don't think they could take over, you know?
You're going to be one of them last nights fighting against the machines that everyone else is slown on the floor.
Yeah, I will be there.
Fair comment. Right, your next question. Will we ever see a female James Bond?
A black female James Bond, sure.
No, female.
I think it should be a black female James Bond.
Black female.
Yeah, like Beyonce or something. It's like these women action movies are like so trending right now. It's just, it seems like a natural move. Sure, I say so.
Yeah, I agree with that one. Yeah. Aliens have landed, and you've been nominated by the university to talk to them. Whose photography would you present?
Oh.
So it could be anyone from anywhere.
I think it would have to be like Irving Penn, right? I just think he's like the most classic, beautiful, everything is just perfectly the way it's supposed to be in his pictures, and like no smoke and mirrors, just straight ahead, beautiful work, you know, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
You'd enjoy that, would you? Talking to the aliens.
Yeah, I would.
Probably better than talking to some human sometimes, anyway. You have to spend 24...
Or I would show them Diane Arbus, because Diane Arbus photographs like weird fringe-type aliens people, you know? So I might show her work, because there's something very alien about the people she photographed. So if I was going to meet some aliens, it might be them. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you got a good point, yeah. Because that's a strange period as well. Especially the amount of stuff she shot.
Yeah.
Fantastic idea, that, you know. Right, so your next one. You have to spend 24 hours in a padded room. Which of these would drive you mad? Someone eating crisps in front of your ears for hours and hours, a decent-sized spider, and you know you'll have to go to sleep at some point, or someone continually talking about their diet.
Oh. So which one's going to drive me mad? I think somebody talking about their diet. Yeah. That would just... The other things, spiders I kind of like, and
people eating dirt by there, yeah.
It doesn't really bother me, yeah.
Okay, well, that's cool. you get to punch, give a present, or have a drink with each of these people. So you've got to choose one of these for each person. Your first person is Patrick Stewart, as in Star Trek.
Punch, have a drink, or
give a present. So you got Patrick Stewart from Star Trek. St. Patrick, as in a missionary, and then Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, I think I would punch, give a drink, punch, have a drink, or give a present. Pat Swayze. I would punch Pat Swayze just to say that I punched Pat Swayze, because that's like the ultimate tough guy move, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd be the dean of the university, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Can I punch everybody?
Or well, do I have break the rules.
If I have to, or do I have to have like give one a drink and then one? Well, my middle name's Patrick, so I'd have to have a drink with St. Patrick, right? That would make sense. You know, and Patrick Stewart, I probably had a drink with him too, because he just seems like a boss, you know?
He's had an interesting life, a lot of different roles.
Yep. X-Men.
That's cool. Well, thank you for going through that. I always appreciate people having a bit of fun with me there. So we are right near the end of the show. I always give my guests a chance to tell everybody where they can find their websites, social media links and all that. So if you want to go ahead, Clay.
Yeah, my full name, Clay Patrick McBride, and that's that's my website, claypatrickmcbride.com, and @clay_patrick_mcbride is my Instagram, or Cleazy McBreezy, my street name.
Well, that's cool. And my final question for you, as you know, I do this sort of pay it forward recommend scheme. Justin recommended you. Try and get people on from different genres, sometimes digital world, sometimes analog world. I've had Rob Shanebrook, who built the moon landing camera. I've had inventors. Is there anyone you think might make an interesting guest? Someone maybe you know or you could introduce me to?
Referrals. Referrals are a very key thing in this business. So that's one of the things I used to say when I showed my portfolio to people. I would say, is there anyone else you think would like to see my work? And then I would have another person to show my work to, you know?
Right.
Let me think. I don't know. I think this guy who's doing a podcast here, Alex Gagne, I think podcast to podcast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's doing something here in America. His name's Alex Gagne, and he's an RIT, the college I teach at. He's an alumni, and he's been doing a great podcast for a while, and I think you might like talking to him.
That's wicked. Yeah, that would be nice, actually, because I've only interviewed one podcaster before, and that was quite a long time ago. So,
was he a photography podcaster?
She was, yeah. She does wedding photography, but she does analog, and she teaches cyanotypes. Fantastic cool. Lady.
Yeah. This kid would be great.
That's awesome. Right. Well, all I have to say, Clay, is thanks for taking the time out. You're a busy man.
Happy to do it, Andrew.
I've had a lot of fun, and it's been nice to learn a little bit about yourself and what you're trying to do.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Clay. Take care, mate.
Adios.
Bye. Hey, guys. I just wanted to pop on the end and say I hope you really enjoyed that one. Clay is obviously a very special character. It took a while to get him on the show, but I hope you appreciate. Sometimes you have to work with people and work around their busy schedules. Like I say, because the guy's a lecturer in a university and he's also doing these assignments, he's a very, very busy guy. His work is literally outstanding. I mean, the pictures are amazing. I have to say, I think one of my favourites was Jay-Z as the president. I think that was fabulous sort of shots, and that was on film. There's a couple more of boxing type shots, and I like Nora's new cover as well. I think what really struck me about Clay was, like I said in the intro, he's a genuine guy. He's all about his students, the work rate. That was really nice to see. But he's actually really cool as well. Now, it's sometimes hard to get that across on a podcast. But I have the extra means of using video when I do these interviews. So for me, I get that extra little glimpse into the world of the person, which is really cool. And to be honest, if you were to say, look up the word cool in dictionary, it would say, see Clay, honestly. That's what made me really laugh about him was, you know, he said, what is cool, you know, who is cool. Well, I think you are cool when you're like that. So, yeah, really enjoyed that one. Music is a big thing to me. It's all about passion. You can see this in their work. Again, he's like Justin Brookie, another music photographer. Well worth checking out. So, yeah, please do check out the website. I'm putting on there a photo we discussed that I shot. And obviously, there's links to Clay's work that you just have to go check out.
He literally has worked with amazing people. And there's no point in me talking about them all. You could go on there and see that for yourself. So yeah, it's been another amazing guest. I'm so lucky. But it doesn't stop here. So there are more amazing people to come. So keep checking it out. Subscribe. And please share with your friends. And as always, please leave a review. Thanks a lot, folks. Till next time.